Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Mark chapter 9 and verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this child came up, or since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came together, he rebuked the foul spirit and said unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried, rent him sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead. Wasn't dead, he was as one dead, but insomuch that many believed, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I want to preach for a few moments on this thought. What doesn't kill you? What doesn't kill you? I read this scripture in Tuesday night prayer. The Lord laid this part of this passage on my heart in prayer on Tuesday night, and I didn't even realize when the Lord changed this up that it was the same passage, but I think God's trying to talk to us. Amen. What doesn't kill you? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for your word, for your blessing, for what you're doing in this service. And Lord, I pray now, right now, that every distraction be removed. Lord, that every distracting thought be removed. And I pray that our ears will be ready to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray right now that the fallow ground of our heart will be broken up and that it will be good ground to receive the seed of the Word of God. Lord, let it multiply in us. Let it grow. Let it change us. Let it help us today, God. Lord, we just give you praise and give you honor and give you glory. For you alone are worthy of it all. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands real good to the Lord before you're seated? Hallelujah. Now, before you're seated, I want you to tell somebody, say, hey, check your pulse. You're still here. You're still here. Praise God. You can be seated in Jesus' name. What doesn't kill you? Can anybody finish that? Makes you stronger. That's what we always say anyway. But we feel dead sometimes. We feel like the life's been knocked out of us. But what doesn't kill you? When I preach this, I don't say it makes you stronger. I just say that's a given. I'll tell you this, what doesn't kill you was a mistake. Made a mistake. It should have took you out. It should have killed you while it had the chance. You didn't hear me. What doesn't kill you made a bad mistake. It didn't finish the job. It didn't stop you. You're still living. You're still alive. You still got a purpose. God's not done with you. If you're sitting in here today, if you got up this morning, just know God's not done with you. If you woke up this morning, you woke up in the mercy of the Lord. The scripture says the mercy of the Lord is new every morning. When you woke up in His mercy, friend, you got another opportunity to do it better, to get it right, to see it through. I know I'm preaching right. You need to hear what I'm telling you right now. Maybe this is breaking your heart right now because you feel like you're right on the verge of quitting. Don't you quit and don't stop. The enemy will fight you. He'll come against you. That roaring lion will try to tear you. But friend, he can't beat you and he can't kill you. If he could, he would. But I'm here to prove today that what didn't kill you made a mistake. I could testify and tell you of times I should have lost my life, but I didn't. What didn't kill me made a mistake. I bet some of you could probably tell some stories about some places you were and some things you were doing, and well, you shouldn't have made it out alive, but you did. Oh, for the mercy of God. Oh, what didn't kill you was a mistake. Oh, because now you've got an opportunity to testify about the goodness of God. Now you got an opportunity to tell somebody, I know what God can do. Come on now, you got a testimony. I know you've been through it, but you're still here. That's the key phrase. You went through it. You didn't stop in it. You didn't die in it. It tried to kill you. It tried to take you out. It wanted to eliminate you, but you're still here. Praise God. My favorite part of this scripture is where it says, and he arose. He got up. He got up. He was down because the enemy put him down, but Jesus took him by the hand and he arose. I'm telling you, the Lord's reaching down. If you look up, you'll see the hand of the Lord right now. If you could just see it, you'd see the hand of the Almighty saying, just come on, let's get up. Let's prove the devil a liar. Let's prove him what he is. He said you'd stay down. He said you'd never get up. He said you'd never be back, but look where you're sitting at today. He said you wouldn't make it, but look where you are. He said you wasn't going to come through it, but here you are today. Take his hand and get up. What didn't kill you made a big mistake. Because you're going to tell somebody what Jesus can do. You're going to tell somebody about the power of God. You're going to tell somebody about the blood of Jesus. You're going to tell them about the Holy Ghost. And somebody else is going to be saved because what didn't kill you made a mistake. I think about this family in this scripture. You know, this child, it was his son. As a newborn, I'm sure they had a lot of joy at his birth. You know, a male child, especially in scripture, rejoiced that a man or child was brought into the world. And in those days, the way it was, customs, you know, he was the heir and he would be carrying on the family name and he would be the one getting all the family history. He would keep the name from being put out in Israel. And so they've got this child, they've got this son, and they're celebrating. I have a son, and they name him. They have dreams for him. They maybe they're trying to teach him his first words. They're waiting on his first steps. You know how we do as parents? Oh, I can't wait till they begin to crawl. I can't wait till they flip over. I can't wait till they stand up. The first time they reach for me, I'm just going to die. When I hear him say "Dada," or if you hear him say "Papa," you know it's there's just something about that. You just the joy of a child. But one day, somewhere, somehow, I don't know the story. We don't know the story. Doesn't even say it. And maybe that's just because we can just fill in the blank, and that's how it happens. Sometimes things happen in our lives, and something happened while he was just a child. A spirit comes in, a destroyer, a thief, a murderer, and before their very eyes it says he was pining away. Their son was beginning to fade away. He's just a shell of who he was, of what he was. No more plans. They just trying to live day by day. They just trying to keep him alive, just trying to protect him. And it's just like the enemy saying, you're just going to have to accept this is how it is. This is how it's going to be. But God always has a better plan. God always has a solution. God always knows what He can do for His people. And friend, I'm telling you, God will take care of His children. In Isaiah chapter 43, the first two verses in that chapter, I love them so much. He said, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and He that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." But here we go in the second verse. "When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you." Let me tell you, God will keep His people in the things that could have swept them away, through the things that could have drowned them. Friend, He can keep you through the things that could have burnt your life up. He told me in one place, "I'll give you beauty for ashes." Friend, let me tell you, the fire can do its worst, and God still got an answer. Hello, somebody. I know somebody in here is going through it today, and you're wondering, why am I in this place? But let me tell you, God's got an answer and a solution for you today in this house. Yes. You ain't have to wait till camp meeting. You ain't got to wait till general conference. You ain't got to wait till the next NAYC. But today, right now, in this house, God is ready to restore. God is ready to revive. God is ready to reveal what He can do in your life. Oh, I'm going to get you there. You've been torn. You've been thrown to the ground. You've been put through the fire, and you've been through the flood. But guess what? I got one more observation for you. You're not dead. It's been hard. It's been heartbreaking. It's been bad. It's been sad. You've been upset, and you've been discouraged. But one more thing, you're not dead. Hello? You're not dead. And then the Bible says there is more hope for a living dog than a dead lion. We think about a lion as being majestic and powerful and royal. He said, but a dead lion can't do nothing. There's more hope of a living dog. And if I have to be a living dog, I'll just bark my way through the rest of this life, but I'm going to be praising God because I got hope today that God can do something with my life. I got hope today that God can bring me out, and I might go through it, but that's the key. I'll go through it. I'm not staying there. I'm not camping out. God's going to take care of it. I'm not dead. If you're not dead, that means that you are alive. And the scripture says you are alive unto God. Aren't you thankful today that you're not living for the world? You're not living for your flesh, but you're living for the King. Every breath I take in the middle of trouble is because He gives it. He said in one place, in the midst of trials and in the midst of tests, Lord, You will revive me. God will bring you back. God will bring you out. God will get you through it. He's able to do it today. You're alive. You're not dead. I'm not saying the battle isn't real. That job you lost, it tore your world up. That relationship that fell apart, it broke you. That loss of that loved one in your life, crushing grief, all that's real. But are you still breathing? Hello? Yeah. The scripture says the dead know nothing. The dead don't praise the Lord. But everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Paul and Silas in prison, still breathing. Daniel in the den of lions, still breathing. Come on. Yeah, still breathing. Still breathing. Let me tell you, alive, you're not dead. It tried to kill you. It tried to discourage you. It tried to convince you that God don't love you. It tried to make you feel like God didn't care. But I'm telling you today that the Almighty, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries, that the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that He cannot save. His ear is not heavy, that He cannot hear. But He's right on time. He's a very present help in the midst of trouble. He's still the resurrection and life, and He can bring you back from the dead. But He can also keep you from dying. Sometimes people die because they just give up. It happens. That's a real phenomenon. It happens. Sometimes people lose the will to live. And so they stop. They don't breathe. They quit. They give up. And then I've seen people that didn't want to go that hung on. And the doctor said, I don't give them no hope. And they're hooked to machines and things are going on. And they say, it's really, really not very much hope at all. We're pretty sure they're going to die. Probably want to call the family in. And somehow they're still here. Yeah. I wish Sister Becky Daniel was still here, was in here today. Because, friend, the doctor told her daughters, said, that's it. Said, we can't do nothing else. And we really ought to just take her off these machines and just let her go. And they said, oh, no. You're not killing my mama. You're not doing that. But, friend, let me tell you. She came out of that hospital. They never thought she would. She come out. They didn't say she would walk, but last time she came here, she was walking, friend, and it was hard. It's been hard, and it's still hard, but she's alive, and she's a testimony, and she's still telling people about the goodness of God. Let me tell you, what didn't kill you made a mistake. It should have took you out. It should have went ahead and shut your mouth while it could, but it didn't. And now you got a testimony. Now you can lift your voice like a trumpet and say, oh, yeah, I know he tried to kill me with addiction, but I'm free. Uh-huh. He tried to kill me in the back alleys, but here I am today. Woo, come on. I know I got some folks that wasn't always raised around the church. I got some folks that got into some things in this house. I know I do. I'm one of them. And I'm telling you, I found my place myself in some places where I should have never walked out. I've had people draw guns on me. I've had them pull knives on me. I've been so drunk, I drove home, didn't even know how I got home. I should have died many times over, but here I am today. And so I'm not boasting in myself, but I'm boasting in the Lord that God is good. And it could have. And it should have, but it didn't. And because it didn't, I'm going to stand up and lift my voice and tell somebody about how good God is. Yes. Somebody needs to get the backbone back. Hello? You need to get that spine back. You need to get that backbone back and stand up and declare. I wonder if there's anybody in here right now that said, I'm going to stand up right now and say, you didn't kill me, but you should have. Come on. I wonder if there's anybody in here right now that can say, you should have took me out, but you didn't. Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. If you're still breathing, you got that testimony today. You hear me? If you're still breathing, you've got that testimony today. You should have killed me. You should have took me out, but you didn't. I'm not about to shut my mouth on the goodness of God. I'm not about to clamp my lips on His mercy. But I'm about to tell somebody, God can bring you out of anywhere. He can bring you out of that drug den. He can bring you off that bar stool. He can bring you out of that stealing and all kind of things, whatever. He can do it. And that scripture said, that enemy jumped on that boy. This is what he does to him. He takes control of him. You ever felt like he was out of control? Everything that's happening to you right now is only making you worse. It's draining you. When they brought him to Jesus, it threw him on the ground and tore him. Let me tell you why it's so hard right now. Because you are closer to your answer. When Jesus saw him, and that enemy knew, I got no way out right here. I got nowhere to run. I got nowhere to go. He tried to pull out the last straw. He said, let me try one more time to kill him. He said it threw him on the ground. He wallowed. He foamed. It tore him. And when he was done, he thought he got him. Everybody else thought he got him. And Jesus took him by the hand, and he arose. The reason this gets so hard right now is because your answer is that close. God's about to reach down and touch your life. The reason you're fighting so hard right now in your mind, the reason you can't get any peace is because the enemy's trying to block your, he don't want you to hear, he don't want you to see what God's about to do, but the hand of the Lord's about to reach down, and God's got a word that'll bring you up. God's got a word that'll lift you, and he arose. Oh, it gets hard. We fight, we cry, We feel like giving up. We wonder why we're doing it. But I'm telling you, just keep doing it. Just hang in there. Just keep breathing if you have to until the hand of the Lord grabs you and says, come on, get up. It's time to go. It's been long enough. Every time Jesus gets close and starts speaking into your life, the enemy will do everything he can to kill you. He will fight you harder because he does not want you to open your mouth and testify and tell somebody about the goodness of God. Yeah. Woo. Woo. Jesus is just right there. We used to sing an old song, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And I'm glad he's in the shadows. I'm glad he's in them dark places. I'm glad he's in places where I feel like ain't nobody but me in my mind and my thoughts and my distress and my mess and all the things that I've been going through and wondering, did God really care? Wonder if anybody else cares. You know, your mind's tearing you up. The enemy's accusing you, saying all things about you, about what you did, where you've been. You weren't worthy anyway. God don't really love you. There's so many other people that could do it. But I'm telling you that this little child was going to have such a testimony. His mom and dad could tell it. And because they saw it, they witnessed it. But the child was going to be able to stand up and say, I'm not hurting anymore. I'm not full of that evil spirit anymore. God delivered me. He delivered me from those things. And people can tell your story, but nobody can give it credit like you. We are overcomers by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb of God. If it had not been for the blood, there'd be no testimony. But oh, because he went to Calvary. Let me tell you, if I give up, I'm saying that the work of Calvary wasn't strong enough to deliver me. When he went to Calvary, he took care of all of it. If I give up, I'm saying what Jesus said isn't true. That I have power over all the power of the enemy. I'm telling you today, don't you ever give up on God. Don't you give up on what he did. By his stripes you are healed. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. Come on, friend, he was a man. He was acquainted with sorrow, acquainted with grief. He knew what we would go through. And he's got a word for you today. All he's done, all the enemies put you through, you're still not dead. All you've lost, you still got him. What a place to start rebuilding. Oh, I've lost it all, Pastor. Okay, still got him. Because he said, I'll never leave you. He said, a nursing mother could forget her child, but I won't forget you. Now, that's a bond that guys can't even comprehend. That's a bond that's so special, so close, so intimate. He said, and even a nursing mother could forget her child, but I won't forget you. I have graven you upon the palms of my hand. Hello, somebody. You hear what I'm telling you right now? Oh, I don't care. This is not insensitive. I'm saying I don't care in the sense that it doesn't matter. I don't care what you lost. You still got him. And that's the best place that you can start rebuilding. That's where you can start getting it back. That's where you can start getting your peace back, your comfort back, your mind back. He's a Prince of Peace. He's our hope, our strength. He's our song. He's our strong tower. He's everything that I need. He supplies all my needs. In him I live, and in him I move, and in him I have my being. Not my stuff, not my relationships, any of that, but it's in him. I'm complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. It's still true today. I am complete in him, and I am still alive. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, you're still alive. Woo! Sometimes somebody has to tell you. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're still alive. If anybody's not, raise your hand. All right. We're all good in the house. You're still alive. Woo! Don't get caught in the dead zone. Don't stay there. That's what I'm talking about. That was that space of time where you feel dead and people think you're dead. Start looking for the hand. Looking for the hand. You were down, but Jesus wants to lift you up. And it says, and he arose. He arose. He took him. He touched him. He grabbed him. He arose. Pulled him. Gave him what he needed. Sometimes it's just that touch that you need. Sometimes it's been so bad. Maybe that child just wanted to lay there. What a fight. What a battle. It looked like the enemy got the best of him. And sometimes we might lose a battle. But we're still alive. And we live to fight another day. You know, when Peter was walking on the water, he was looking at Jesus. He was listening. He had heard the word, come. One word, one small little word, come. And it was enough authority in that one word because of who it came from and the faith Peter had in it. He could step on the things that should drown him. He could walk on the stormy sea. But when he began to look around, he began to sink. Oh, and you know, a lot of times, because of our pride and our ego, we'd rather just drown than have to go back to that boat and face everybody. But I preach, just get back to the boat. Because if you get back to the boat, you walk in with him. Jesus took him by the hand and they went back to the ship. And friend, if you can just get back to the ship sometimes, you'll live to fish another day. You'll live to go another day. So don't worry about your pride, your ego, and everybody going, that's what you get, stupid, stepping out on the water. You know, but at least I got out there. At least I obeyed the word. At least I wasn't afraid to trust him. And maybe I went down. But hey, guy, who took me by the hand? Jesus did. When I sunk, when I started sinking, he didn't forsake me. I started looking around and got scared. He didn't forsake me. He just said, here's my hand. Let me get. The sea should have swallowed him up. What didn't kill him made a mistake, because Peter was on his way to Pentecost and he was going to preach a message. Woo! He was going to preach a message that would turn the world upside down. Praise God. What doesn't kill you gives you an opportunity. Gives you many opportunities, but it gives you an opportunity to be better. It'll give you opportunity to have a relationship. It'll give you an opportunity to be a better person, a better friend, a better child, a better parent, a better husband, a better wife. If it didn't kill you, it gives you a chance to change your direction, to turn your life around. It gives you a chance at what Jesus said he brought to give, which is life more abundantly. Look at John 10:10. We know this, we could quote it. The thief, he comes, he's got one purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come. The thief comes, he's coming, but I'm already here. I'm already here. I am come that they might have life. Who's the they? All the people that are going through it. Everybody that's getting robbed. Everybody who's getting killed. Everybody who's getting destroyed. All these people. Jesus said, but even after the enemy has done all that he can do, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It means superior in quality and quantity. Well, you lose stuff from a thief. You lose stuff from death, and you lose stuff from destruction. But he said, the life I'm going to give you is going to be superior in quality and quantity. I'm going to give you back so much more. What did he say about Job? And God blessed the latter end of Job. His wife stepped in on behalf of the enemy. You still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? You talk like a foolish woman. You know, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You're talking like somebody that don't know there's a God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Come on, somebody. I am come that they might have life. That word life doesn't just mean to live. It means to have a life. To live a life. God didn't call you to sit still and wither away. But he called you to follow him, to take up the cross daily. He called you to be a light. He called you to be salt. He called you to give your testimony. He called you to preach. He called you to teach. He called you to pray and to prophesy. He called you to worship and to praise. He called you to be a servant of the Most High. We are workers together with him. He called you to live a life. Not just to, you can be alive and not living. Few, one of these people, super active, always into stuff, doing things, man, just never sit still, always busy, always into something, just helping people, doing things, you know, just, and that's how people know you, always doing, full of life, always going somewhere, doing this, doing that. You have a tragic accident, get hit by like a rhinoceros on safari. Now you're in the hospital. Life support. Brain swelling. He's alive. He ain't living. Because he ain't doing nothing that he loved. That's a tough way. People, it's hard to see them like this because they normally are so full of life. They're living, they go, and that's what God, he come to give you life, not life support. I'm knocking on your door. I said he come to give you life, not life support. He ain't just trying to keep you breathing on a machine. I'm not, now don't get me wrong, that happens sometimes. I'm using it for an example here. I'm telling you that God's not trying to, he called you to a life. And he's not just going to say, well, I'll make them alive, but they'll just have to sit still. You know where some people's life support machine is? It's right here.
Oh, good gracious.
Well, I was sitting in my seat, okay. But God put a word in your mouth. God gave you a testimony. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Hello? Like it or not, he called everybody to ministry. He called everybody to follow me. He called everybody to cast their nets. Friend, let me tell you, he called everybody to put their hand on the plow. He didn't call you to life support. Oh, no. Now, people on life support, thank goodness they often come off and they get back to living. But sometimes they come off and they don't come back. Hear and discern what I'm saying to you right now. Sometimes we feel like that's all we can do, as long as I can just get to the church. Okay. But there's got to come a time when that deliverance comes. Because we can sit and sit and keep trusting in just the service to try to make us better. But there ain't a church service ever been held that can save you. Mm-mm. Nope, nope, nope. He saves us. It's only him. Sometime we got to tell him, get me off this machine. Take him by the hand and stand up. Get up and get back to doing what God called you to do. Get back to living the life that God gave you. Get back to the ministry that God called you to. If it was singing or playing or preaching or teaching or testifying, whatever it is, because you're still alive. There ain't nobody around here gonna pull the plug. You're welcome to sit on life support as long as you need to. But I'm gonna be praying every day, every time I see you, God, get them off that life support. Get them, because I'm your pastor. And let me tell you something, I see it. I know when you're living, and I know when you're on life support. I know it. I see this. That's my job. I'm the watchman on the wall and I see it. I've been in enough church with you. I've been in enough services with you. I know you. I know I'm not the Lord over his heritage, but I am the shepherd of this church. And I know when sheep are straying. I know when sheep are wandering. I know when things are going on. I can see it. And every time I see you sit there, I'm like, God, get them. Shake them. Touch them. Do whatever it takes, God. Heal them. Because I know what they can do. I know what God's got for them. I know who they ought to be. Pastor, you're digging. You're digging. Yeah, I am. I'm going to get in there. Because I want you to be better. I want you to be all right. I want you to say, Lord, I believe that you can do it. I'm not dead. I believe you can get me out of this. I don't believe this is just what I got to accept. Whoever said that people who come through hell on earth, who make the big mistakes, whoever said they can't have the same life that Jesus offers every one of us? Whoever said that? Oh, but well, Pastor, you know what they did. Well, is it something Jesus can't forgive? Is it something he can't make right? Is it something not that is more powerful than his blood? Is it more powerful than Calvary? Well, no, Pastor. And if you'd be honest, here's what you're really saying. But no, Pastor, I just can't get by it. There are no classes of spiritual society. The abundant life is for us all. And I don't know what you did. I don't know how bad it was. I don't know how big of a hold it had or even has on you right now. But it made a mistake when it didn't kill you. It made a mistake when it didn't take you out. Psalm 118, and you can come to the music. Whoever's coming to music, let's bring it on this way. Because there's about to be some deliverance in this house today. There's about to be some people get up in this house today. Come on, stand with me. Let's just go ahead and get in position. Yeah, let's just go ahead and get in position. The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 118 and 17. I shall not die. I shall not die. But he didn't say, I shall not die, but I'm just going to lay here. I shall not die, but I ain't doing nothing else. No. He said, I shall not die, but I'm going to live. Woo! I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. I'm about to kick the devil in his teeth. I'm about to tell somebody. He had me by the throat and I spit in his face and said, you ain't got no power and no authority over me. Come on, somebody. He tried to choke me and I laughed at him because I said, you ain't got the authority. You ain't got the power to take a child of God out. And I'm not going to die. But I told him right to his face, I'm going to live. And then I'm going to tell how bad the Lord beat you. I'm going to tell how the Lord gave me victory over you. I'm going to tell what a crushing defeat it was for you, devil. The devil thought it had me, but I sure got away. Woo! Come on, somebody.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.